Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you become more comfortable and even confident in all those areas that make you squirm, like public speaking, giving negative feedback, or even schmoozing at those dreaded networking parties? Hello everyone, Kevin Cruz here, and in just a minute we're going to talk about how to grow beyond your comfort zone. But first, LeadX Nation, let me say, friend to friend, do you want to be a high achiever? At work, do you want to be known as a hypo? That means high potential. If you say yes, then you need to get on over to leadx.org and sign up for our newsletter. We give you a daily challenge, like a trick with your calendar that's going to get you an extra hour a day, or how to begin every single meeting you lead to make it more effective, and even the one word you can use to get people to instantly like you. Now, who doesn't want some of that? Visit leadx.org. Now, our guest today is a professor of psychology and organizational behavior at Brandeis University, and he's been featured in the New York Times, Fast Company, Inc., and NPR. He's the author of the new book, Reach, A New Strategy to Help You Step Outside Your Comfort Zone, Build Confidence, and Rise to the Challenge. He is Dr. Andy Malinsky. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's going to be fun, and we're going to talk about Reach in just a minute, but first, will you share a time with our listeners when you actually failed, and what did you learn from it?
Absolutely. I failed a lot, so it's actually pretty easy to find a situation. I think a good one that I often think about is early in my career, after I got my PhD, when I first started teaching in a business school. I was at the University of Southern California in LA, and I remember I started, probably because it was in LA, I started getting offers from corporations, a lot of media companies, to give keynote talks. And of course, nowadays, if someone asks me that, and they do, and I'm like psyched, I'm like, sign me up, I'm there, right? But I guess I was in my late 20s. And I had never given a speech before. I was terrified of speaking in public. I just completely avoided it. And so I guess I call that a failure. So for example, I remember Fox called me. You know, they said they wanted me to do a keynote. It was actually a pretty good fit, actually. I remember so distinctly telling them, I was like, I think I have to look at my calendar for a second. So I look, I pretend to open up my calendar. You know, my actual calendar is clearly like completely blank. But I say to them, you know what? Those days just aren't going to work. Like praying to myself that they weren't going to say, oh, but we have flexibility.
Right.
You know? And in the end, you know, I avoided it. But I think it was a failure because even at that point in my life, I should have gone for it.
So. Even when you weren't comfortable, you should have stepped outside your comfort zone of the time is what I'm hearing.
I think so. I didn't have it in me. Nowadays, you know, I'd gladly do that. There maybe are other things outside my comfort zone now, but I think I wish I had the courage back then to do that.
Well, and of course, that's the theme of your new book, Reach, A New Strategy to Help You Step Outside Your Comfort Zone, Rise to the Challenge, and Build Confidence, which I hear from so many people. They're trying to build more self-confidence. And with all of these things that make us uncomfortable, you know, let me start with a very basic question, which is, are you sure we should overcome these things? Because, you know, so I hear from a lot of people, oh, you got to listen to your body and understand what you're good at and what you're not good at and just lean into your strengths and don't worry about those things you're not so good at. So how would you respond to that?
I think that's good advice generally, that you want to play to your strengths. You know, in a lot of company settings, let's say you're an entrepreneur and you're really good at product, but you're not so good at sales or business development. Maybe you partner with someone who's really good at that and so on. So I think there's a lot of sensible reasons to play to your strengths, but it's tricky because I think sometimes we do that in a way to actually avoid growing and developing. Right. So you want to make sure it's not about avoidance. I often say to people when I'm working with them, if they could imagine they had, I don't know, a magic eraser, and they could do a thought exercise in their mind, and they could take a situation that they're thinking about, like giving a speech or networking or making sales or whatever it might be. And if they could just for a moment erase that anxiety and fear just for a second and ask themselves honestly, is this something you'd like be psyched to be able to do, that you'd be excited to be able to do? You'd really want to be able to do this for your career and so on. If you really reach into your heart there and say, yeah, it is, then I think it's actually a good situation to work on, where you actually want to try to step outside your comfort zone and not play exclusively to your strengths.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, that is sort of knowing the difference, whether it's just something that is not an area of strength or that would benefit you or that you are interested in, or really, you know, understand and feel deep inside, is this an area that I would like to get better in or be successful in? I always like to learn from examples. And boy, I can remember back in my early days, early 20s, and I was cold calling like crazy for my company, and I was horrible at it and hated doing it. And I did it reluctantly because I had to eat and all that stuff. But what should someone, let's say there's a salesperson, she's got call reluctance, but she does want to be good at it. I mean, what are the root causes of this discomfort? Why was I so uncomfortable cold calling? Why were you uncomfortable at giving, you know, public speeches back then?
Yeah, so in the book Reach, I should say just for starters that I interviewed lots of people from lots of different professions. So you had executives, managers, entrepreneurs, doctors, lawyers, police officers, rabbis, priests. I even interviewed a goat farmer, which
I think that's a whole separate story.
Just gonna say there's a really good backstory to that one. But anyways, across all different kinds of situations too, like tons of different situations. And what I was looking at is I was trying to find commonalities even across these very different situations. So what I found is in your situation, another situation, whatever it might be, that there were basically five core, I call them psychological roadblocks people face when stepping outside their comfort zone. The first is authenticity, the idea that this isn't me. I feel like an imposter. You know, this just isn't me trying to do whatever it might be, like cold calling, like you're saying. So that's actually hard when you feel like an imposter, like you feel inauthentic. Another one is competence or incompetence, like the fear, which by the way, could be legitimate, the fear that, you know, I can't do this well. And by the way, people are going to see me right. Is not able to do this well.
Right.
You know, that's another roadblock people experience. So authenticity, competence. Another one's likability. You know, we all want to be liked. But oftentimes when we're stepping outside our comfort zone into a situation that we're not used to, especially something like cold calling, where you might feel like you're, I don't know, interfering or disrupting someone's day or imposing on someone and so on. We a lot of people fear that these people will hate us, think we're a jerk, think we're in something worse than a jerk. I don't know if this is PG rated or R-rated, but we'll keep it G, right?
Right.
But you get what I'm saying, right? The likability. A fourth one is resentment. Now, I don't know if you'd feel that necessarily with cold calling, but people do feel oftentimes resentful that they have to step outside their comfort zone. I've talked with lots of introverts who feel like they're kind of swimming upstream trying to play in a world of extroverts, right? Our business culture today is quite an extroverted culture. It's sort of biased towards extroverts in some ways, right? You know, being self-starters, being assertive, speaking out, speaking up, public speaking, you know, and so on. But if you're introverted, you might not feel comfortable doing those things. And a lot of people I know and I've spoken with and I've worked with feel resentful. Like, why can't the quality of my work matter? Why does it have to be my ability to make chit-chat in the elevator? Right? So that's resentment. And then finally, morality, maybe with cold calls, could be. I'll actually give you a good example of a morality challenge, which was a cold call, but a cold call in a specific industry. For the book Reach, I spoke with a booker. Now, a booker is someone from a TV show, oftentimes a news show, who has to call people to try to get them as guests on the network. Now, imagine this is a tragedy, an awful situation, and there's a family grieving for whatever situation. This person I spoke with, she had to cold call that family. And in fact, she had to beat the other networks to get that family on the air. Now, that was her job. But she felt a morality challenge. She felt that this was way outside her comfort zone. Ultimately, she left. She told me she felt like a little bit of her soul was sucked out every time she did it. But the point is that authenticity, confidence, likability, resentment, morality, you don't experience all of them all the time, but any one of them can make it hard to step outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, and I was jotting notes like crazy because literally thinking back to my cold calling experience and other experiences, I mean, this really resonates. I mean, I was sitting in an open office area and the boss's office with the door open was 5 feet away. So if I was going to fail, you know, he was going to see me. He was listening to me. So there was sort of the fear of the boss's reaction. And I am a massive introvert. And throughout my life, I never really recognized it right now. This is some good free therapy, but I have had resentment and it often will be and I know a lot of women will comment on this too. Like my boss or partners are all golfers. You know, they love to go out and golf on all day Sunday with each other. I don't golf and I really don't want to hang out with my partners on the weekend. I do what introverts do. I recharge, I read books, I hang out with my kids or one close friend. And I do sort of resent, like, why is so much business done at the club, at the golf course? Why? I mean, I do a lot of public talks now and people are surprised that introverts do that. We do it, but it just is a huge energy drain. And so I could see now how, you know, any of these, any one could be a powerful thing to give us that discomfort. And often there could be more than one at play. But that leads us to the big question then, you know, Andy. So what do we do about it? We have our cold caller. She wants to be good at it. I wanted to be good at it back in the day. Like, what are some, you know, resources or approaches we could do to get outside our comfort zone?
Yeah, that's, of course, the big question. It would be a really boring, sad book if I ended right there.
Here's the problem, end of book.
Exactly. So I wanted to try to figure out what distinguished people who were successful and, you know, were able to get that courage to take the leap from people who weren't. I found three things that sort of distinguished successful people from unsuccessful people across all these contexts. The first was conviction. Having some sort of deep sense of purpose, that the pain is worth the gain, that there's something in it for you, and not in a superficial way, but in a real meaningful way. Like, why are you doing this? Because it's going to be swimming upstream. It's going to be hard. And so what's going to enable you to push through? And for some people, that source of conviction is very professionally oriented. Like, you know, I always wanted to be a manager. I've dreamed of being an entrepreneur. I've dreamed of starting my own business. I've dreamed of being self-sufficient, whatever it is. And I just have to do this. I have to be able to learn how to do this. And I'm just going to push through. So that would be a professional source of conviction. Sometimes it's personal. I can tell you, for me, I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, and I'm always telling my kids to try to step outside their comfort zones. And then I face a situation, and if dad isn't able to step outside his comfort zone, you know, that's pretty lame. That's not the kind of dad I want to be, honestly. So I actually oftentimes find myself going to a personal source of conviction. But whatever it is, locating it, finding it, and embracing it is step number one in my book. So that's conviction. Step number two, or tool number two, is customization. And I have to say, this is what surprised me most in doing the research for this book. We oftentimes, I think, feel helpless stepping outside our comfort zones, because of course these are hard situations, but you have much more power than you think to kind of tweak or customize your behavior. Think like a tailor. Like, you go to the store, you buy a suit, you buy a pair of pants, you probably don't wear it off the rack, you probably adjust it or have a tailor adjust it here or there to fit you. And it's a metaphor. You can do the same thing with your behavior. So in your cold call situation, for example, maybe you script it out. Maybe you script out a few lines. Maybe you have a key phrase that helps you get through it. Maybe you bring a prop. Maybe you have a lucky ring. Maybe you have a lucky hat. Maybe you have a lucky sweatshirt. You know, maybe you play with the setting. You find a comfortable location where you feel sort of confident and comfortable. Maybe you decide to schedule. You play with time. You do something fun or relaxing before or afterwards. If it's in person, maybe you're bringing a friend. Maybe you're bringing a colleague. Maybe you do it at a time of day that you feel best, that you feel you're at your best. Or maybe you start with low-hanging fruit, people that you think will probably be most receptive to your message, to have a small win, build your confidence, and then kind of move from there. And my point is that there's no one way of doing this, and you can find a way to make it your own. And my guess, from what I have learned, is that you can customize in a way that makes it just that little bit easier and more comfortable to take the leap. And then finally, you've got conviction, customization. The last is clarity. And clarity is the idea that oftentimes when we're in situations outside our comfort zones, we do what psychologists call catastrophizing. We think of the absolute worst possible case. I'm going to give that speech. I'm going to make that cold call. I'll be a complete flop. You know, the person will hang up at me. They'll scream at me. I'll faint on stage, whatever it is. And so I think anxiety and fear pulls us in that direction. And clarity is the ability to claim that sort of more realistic, normalized middle ground, to be able to say to yourself, you know what, it might not be perfect, but it probably won't be this disaster doomsday scenario, probably somewhere in the middle. I'm guessing I'll learn a lot. And the next time around, I'll get even better. So it's finding a way to not have your confidence sway like the open seas, you know, and to have more of a psychological anchor to keep you level. And that's what clarity is.
Wow, the three C's. This is, again, very triggering. And I thought it was funny when you said, you know, we catastrophize, you know, given a speech, oh, we might pass out or something. And recently, a really good friend of mine, she's terrified of public speaking, and she needed to walk up on stage in front of a couple hundred people and do a talk. And I was talking to her, I'm like, well, what's the worst that could happen? And she says, oh, I don't know, I'm in these heels, I'm going to fall down or something. Well, I am up on stage, I introduce her, she starts to walk up, and she does trip on her heels and fall down and stands back up and comes up. And I just said, well, you got that over with. And she was great after that. It's like, even in the catastrophe, okay, it's not as bad as she thought. And Andy, I'm curious though, I don't know if you know the answer to this. So your friend who was, or the person who was the booker of these news catastrophes, which of the three C's did she use, or, you know, what was her conviction about bothering these people who just had a tragedy and getting them onto TV?
You know, I think early on for her, the conviction is that she wanted to make it in her career. And if this is a stepping stone to higher things that are more meaningful to her, that's fine. She'll just do it. She'll sort of grit her teeth and do it. I think she probably also said that, you know, someone's going to get these people on air. Might as well be us. Might as well be me, by the way, because I'm compassionate. When I ultimately talk to this family, I will talk with them with compassion. And the people here in our network are also compassionate, much more so than those other guys, right? So there, I heard that a lot, actually, when I was interviewing police officers as well. So I interviewed, and I also did a ride along with police officers. We performed 20 evictions one day in a pretty tough part of a major metropolitan city. I had the, you know, bulletproof vest and everything. And I remember them saying that too, that there's a source of conviction for them that, you know, better me than someone else, because I know how to do this with dignity.
Right.
You know, and it was true. I was watching these police officers, these particular people, and they were, at least in my mind. Of course, I can't step into the shoes of the person being evicted, but I felt as an outside observer, they were doing with dignity. But, you know, ultimately, this booker left her job. It was too much, you know, so there's a burnout factor. But I think that's what she at least initially relied upon.
Yeah, that's interesting. So before we wrap up, I always like to challenge our listeners to get just a little bit better every single day. So based on your work, your book, is there something you can challenge us to do today?
Yeah. So you're walking, you're in the car, you're at your desk, you're in your kitchen. You're probably not right now going to go off and do something that's like way outside your comfort zone, at least, you know, especially if you're in your car, probably don't do that. but what I would say is do a thought exercise. Take 5 minutes, 3, 4, 5 minutes to actually imagine yourself stepping outside your comfort zone in a situation that's meaningful for you, in a situation where you would like to grow and improve. And, you know, think to yourself, like, what are the worries that are holding you back? In this sort of thought exercise, can you imagine like coping with those worries? Can you imagine using some of what we talked about already today to try to make it just a little bit easier for you? What I find is that sometimes the very first step in stepping outside our comfort zone is actually imagination. It's not action. It's actually in our heads, like contemplating the possibility. So I think that's a reasonable call to action you can do anywhere, anytime, right now.
That's great. That's great. I like that. Imagination and contemplate as the first step. So what's the best way our listeners can find out more about you and your work?
Yeah, come visit me at my website, which is www.andymolinsky.com. So my name is spelled ANDYMOLINSKY.com. And don't worry if you get it wrong, because I bought a couple of domain names of the most common misspellings of my name.
Very savvy.
Yeah, right. That's one of my savvy moves. But we also have created a great free guide to stepping outside your comfort zone, which is available right there on the website. So come visit, connect, email me, follow, or connect on social media. I love to hear from people, and I love to engage on these topics.
That's great. All right, friends, you've just been mentored by behavioral change expert, Dr. Andy Molinsky. Don't forget, you can get the links and notes from this interview over at leadx.org, and you can get Andy's book from amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. And listeners, please do me a big favor. Hop on over to iTunes, look up the Lead X Show, subscribe, and just leave a short, honest review. If I read your review on the air, I'm going to send you a free Lead X t-shirt. And if you send me an email to say, hey, I just reviewed the show, we're going to invite you into our ambassador program, where we give away monthly prizes, give special access to our guests, and have a lot of fun. So until next time, friends, remember, leadership is about influence, not authority. We are all leaders. The question is, what kind of leader will you be today?